It's just a night we're going through Psalm 17, and then we have a little bit of a break from Psalms after this week, just for a little while. Got a few more to do, haven't we? So we'll catch up with that at some point. But yes, we're going through Psalm 17, Psalm of David. And David's prayer, if you like, cry of desperation as Saul was chasing him. Again, we don't know that this psalm was for that, but it makes sense. It makes sense that David's cry here and the words he says was to do with this situation as Saul was trying to take his life and chase him. We've seen Samuel, David running from Saul. You might not realise that David was running from Saul for some 10 years, which sort of makes us more understand David's plight and how he must have been feeling. If I was to say to you, what have you done in the last 10 years? And you might have had some highs and you might have had some lows, but was somebody out to kill you for the last 10 years? And yet you kept having to run and hide. And we might read past that and think, well, how did that feel? How did David feel? See, David could have turned and he could have defended himself. He could have killed Saul on a couple of occasions. But he wasn't going to touch God's anointed. And we'll look into that a bit more a little bit later. So we see here in this psalm, David calling out for God's help. And of course, David puts these prayers into song. And we still do. And I've said before, we have many praise songs that come from Psalms. There'll be a few tonight. I wondered once that when you get to heaven, we'll be able to hear how David intended the psalm to be sung. And maybe we can show him how we've used his words, or should I say God's words, in the songs that we sing today. I find it amazing that we know all scriptures inspired by God, given to men to write. But also this was a situation that was happening, a situation that's been fulfilled. And God yet uses it again for our benefit, that we can read it and we can take away so much, seeing God's character, how he defends his people, how he looks after his church, how he looks after his people. We learn how we can pray in a powerful way. We can see what David did and do the same. When we come to things in our life that trouble us and we struggle with. And certainly through this one, we're going to see how God is marvellous. His loving kindness is marvellous. It's the first time it gets mentioned in Scripture. And we'll see that today as well. So let's take a quick look at Samuel just to see how Saul turned on David. To just get a picture of what happened. So 1 Samuel 16, 19 to 21. Therefore Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, "Send me your son David, who is with the sheep." And Jesse took a donkey and loaded it with bread and a skin of wine and a young goat and sent them by his son David to Saul. I love that. You go maybe out to a dinner party, you take gifts. So you need to take now a donkey and a skin of wine and a goat hanging over the donkey, and then it all will be good. Nothing, not a lot has changed. Well, maybe slightly. Some after 8 minutes, it's probably a bit of an easier thing to carry. Verse 21, so David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armour bearer. Saul loved him greatly. We'll so soon see how that changes. A little bit later on, we see Saul sent to Jesse saying, "Please let David stand before me, for he has found favour in my sight." And so it was whenever the Spirit of God was upon Saul that David would take a harp and play it with his hand. Then Saul would become refreshed and well, and the distressing spirit would depart from him. Let's not forget how music helps us today. Music is so important. It stirs our emotions. And it allows us to use emotions to talk to God. But I'm a firm believer that it heals. It's one of those things that really helps our soul deep down when we sing praises to God. The demons flee. And we're going to jump a couple of chapters because David was getting so popular with Saul, and Saul's heart changed. He could see this proudness coming on as he saw David become more and more popular. 1 Samuel 18:7-9. Saul had slain his thousand and David his tens of thousands. Then Saul was very angry and saying the same displeased him. And he said, they've ascribed to David 10,000s and to me they've ascribed only thousands. Now what more can he have but the kingdom? So Saul eyed David from that day forward. I love that. He eyed David. I'm watching you. Got to be careful who I do that to. Straight around. This gradual hatred for David, as Saul's proud heart was listening to the people around him. He didn't like David being more popular, and he saw that as a threat. He saw that a threat to his kingdom taking over. Samuel 18:10-11. And it happened on the next day that the distressing spirit from God came upon Saul. And he prophesied in the house. So David played music with his hand and as other times, but there was a spear in Saul's hand. And Saul cast the spear, for he said, I will pin David to the wall. But David escaped his presence twice. Now, Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him, but had departed from Saul. Saul knew that. So Saul puts David out to fight the Philistines, hoping that he'd be killed. If you remember, this is what David did to Bathsheba's husband, which made it so much more worse that David did something that was done to him. But Saul thought to make David fall by the hand of the Philistines. We see that in 1 Samuel 18. Now, we set the scene and see David's predicament and how he was literally being chased around the country by Saul. We can understand David's cries. We read this. We can understand his passion in his prayer, his ask for help. So let's start Psalm 17. Hear a just cause, O Lord. Attend to my cry. Give ear to my prayer, which is not from deceitful lips. Let my vindication come from your presence. Let your eyes look on the things that are upright. Word vindication, it's the action of clearing somebody of blame or suspicion. Lord, look down. Look what I'm doing. Set your eyes on me, see that I'm upright, that I'm not doing any wrong. Verse 3, you have tested my heart, you have visited me in the night. You have tried me and have found nothing. I have purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. Concerning the works of men by the word of your lips, I have kept away from the paths of the destroyer. Very poetic, but let's break that down. David's cry to God, hear my cry, hear my prayer. Look at my heart. I've not sinned. David wasn't a sinless man, but he was sinless in this situation. David, a couple of times in close calls with Saul, he got so close to David that he could have killed him. You remember he cut a little bit off the hem of his tunic. He was that close. But David knew that even though Saul was chasing him wrongly, he was the Lord's anointed. God had made him king. Now this was because the people were begging God for a king. They wanted to be like the other nations around them. But still God placed him there. It's a reminder to us to be careful what we ask for. Let's be sure of it, what we're asking for. David said in verse 3 here, you have tested my heart. We see many scriptures where God looks at our heart. We hear this fleshly heart and this stony heart. How God changes that when we become a Christian. Proverbs 17:3, the refining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests the heart. Jeremiah 17:10, the Lord searches the heart I test the mind. Sorry. The Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. You see, Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 2:4. But as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak not as pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts. God tests the heart of man. He looks at the deep things. We can't hide from him our secrets, our hatred, our unforgiveness, our worldliness. He can read us literally like a book. But David here on this subject had a clean heart. He said he had purposed. I have purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. That word purpose is zormam. To have a thought, devise a plan, consider and purpose. It's the same thing we have with Daniel when he purposed in his heart not to have the food that was given him, set before him, or the king's food. We can choose to do the right thing. We have the ability not to sin, if we choose. But so often we fail, we make brisk, bad calls without taking things to the Lord in prayer. God truly knows when we are righteous in a matter. If we're kept away from the paths of the destroyer, well, we all know who he's talking about there. The destroyer being Satan. Verse 5, he says, uphold my steps in your paths, that my footsteps may not slip. Spurgeon said about this verse, he said, what's slipping God's ways? Yes, the road is good, but our feet are evil, and therefore slip even on the king's highway. Somebody said, we should have this as our prayer. Lord, if I'm not on your path, please put me there. I want to be on your path, not my own. Set my feet on your path. And let me not stray. Psalm 17, and we'll carry on with verse 6 and 7. I've called on you, look upon you, and you will hear me. We used to sing a song. It's one of the songs that sort of came to mind as I was going through this. We have called on you, Lord. You might remember that one. When we first started playing in the band, we used to do that one. It's a nice bass riff, so I can remember these things. But I remember the lyrics as well. We've called on your name and you have answered. Mercy has triumphed over judgment. You've stretched out your hand and you've touched us. You've sent us your holy fire and you've purged us. Light has triumphed over darkness. I will call upon you. You will hear me, O God. Incline your ear to me and hear my speech. Show your marvellous loving kindness by your right hand. O you who save those who trust in you from those who rise up against them. So show your marvellous loving kindness by your right hand. Right hand showing strength. This is the first appearance in Psalms of this wonderful word, loving kindness. Marvellous loving kindness. David asks that this special love be shown to him by the special power of God. Many of us ask for or only expect God's moderate loving kindness. We make our prayers, our faith and our expectations small. And David here shows us a pattern to expect and ask from God's marvellous loving kindness. Spurgeon said, do you not see that you have been a marvellous sinner? Marvellously ungrateful have you been. Marvellously have you abrogated your sins. Marvellously did you kick against the mother's tears. Marvellously did you defy a father's counsels. Marvellously have you laughed at death. And marvellously have you made a covenant with death and a league with hell. Oh, saith he, God will never have mercy on me. It is too great a thing to hope, too great a wonder to expect. Young man, here is a new prayer for you. Show thy marvellous loving kindness. I love that. No matter what we go through, no matter what we think we've done, God is so much higher than that. He's able to forgive. He's able to direct us and put us back on track. He loves us. We were talking about it this morning. You know, this whole world, this creation, this universe, all those things he holds together, every atom he holds together. Yet he cares about you. He cares about me. We might seem minute to that. We might just see a little speck of dust compared to the creation that he made. But he cares for us. He listens to us. He loves us. Verse 8, keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me under the shadow of your wings. From the wicked who oppress me. From my deadly enemies who surround me. That's a dark time, such a dark time for David. The apple of your eye. Those amazing sayings that we hear. Most people don't realise that they come from the word of God. And the apple here talking about the pupil. Sorry to keep quoting Spurgeon, but he says some really amazing things. Spurgeon says this about the eye. He says, no part of the body more precious, more tender, and more carefully guarded than the eye. And of the eye, no portion more peculiar to be protected than the central apple. The pupil, or as the Hebrews call it, the daughter of the eye. The all-wise Creator has placed the eye in a well-protected position. It stands surrounded by projecting bones, like Jerusalem encircled by mountains. Moreover, its great author has surrounded it with many tunics of inward coverings. Besides the hedge of the eyebrow, the curtain of the eyelid, and the fence of the eyelashes. In addition to this, he has given to every man so high a value for his eyes, though so quick an apprehension of danger that no member of the body is more faithfully cared for than the organ of sight. Hide me under the shadow of your wing. Don't be mistaken by thinking God has wings. But this is a picture of a mother hen looking after her young, hidden and safe out of sight of the enemy. Count the legs. We see Matthew 23, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I want to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. But you're not willing. Let's not be like them. Let us trust in the Lord and stay under his protection. Remember, the chick that steps out of the protection of the wing becomes easy pickings for the enemy. Now, the church is not the hen. God is the hen. The church hides under it. We can imagine these chicks just stepping out before they are ready, lagging behind. Let's look after each other, keep dragging us under the wings. And what a picture to see how God cares for us. You stay there and you'll be safe. Stay under me, stay on my path and you'll be safe. Wandering off. Verse 10, that they have closed up their fat hearts with their mouths, they speak proudly. They have surrounded us in our steps. They have set their eyes crouching down to the earth. See this word, fat hearts. It can mean sort of prosperity, people who have got everything and they want more. Or it can also mean the dullness. We see that in Isaiah 6:10. It says, make the heart of this people dull, and their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and return and be healed. Surrounded, crouched down, ready to pounce. We see this, there's this picture of this lion ready to attack. One Bible teacher had a habit of praying a certain prayer when he felt under attack. He said, "Lord, your property is in danger." I like that. Your property is in danger. Verse 12, as a lion is eager to tear his prey, and like a lion lurking in a secret place. We've all seen nature programs of lions creeping around to take their prey, hiding in the undergrowth, ready to pounce, taking their time, working together to bring another animal down. And they're young, learning those ways, being taught by the adults what they need to do to survive. But David saw the people around him, these enemies, like that. Threatening, ready to be taken down. If you remember, David, as a shepherd, defended the sheep from lions and bears. But here he feels vulnerable. People are out to get him. The king is out to get him. I can't touch the king. It's your anointed Lord. We are prey for the devil, Peter tells us. He says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking to whom he may devour. This psalm shows us how we should stay in God's care. It shows us how we should stay close to him, how we should stay on his path. And we know the result of this. We know that David survived. Saul eventually dies with his sons on the battlefield. God protected him those 10 years as he ran round. You think God could have just sorted that at the beginning. Let's just take Saul out and you'd be fine. You'd be king and everything would be right. But these things have to happen. Bad things happen. The good people. But God is with us. If we stay faithful, he is faithful. His righteousness is added to us. He's looking after us. Verse 13, arise. We've just been singing about that. O Lord, confront him, cast him down, deliver my life from the wicked with your sword. With your hand from men, O Lord, from men of the world who have had their portion in this life, whose belly you fill with your hidden treasure. They are satisfied with children and the rest, leave the rest of their possessions for their babies. Solomon talks about this circular living, just out to fill our babies, die and pass it on to the next generation. Spurgeon explained it like this. Their sensual appetites get the gain which is craved for. God gives to these swine the husks which they hunger for. A generous man does not deny dogs their bones. And our generous God gives even his enemies enough to fill them. If they were not so unreasonable as never to be content. David needs God to deal with this problem, as it would be wrong for David to put his hand against Saul. He sees these people around him that are contentful. You can see that David travelling around here for a long time, probably lacking food. Not readily available, but like the people that are chasing him, who would have had those portions to take with them. But he sees they're just out to kill him, out to live their life and be godless. Verse 15, as for me, I will see your face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I wake in your likeness. I will see your face. This will be fulfilled at the resurrection as we're taken up. We see that in the reading that Patrick read at the beginning. For many walk, of whom I told you often and now tell you even weeping, there are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things, for our citizenship is in heaven, for which we eagerly wait for the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly bodies, that it may be conformed to his body, according to the working by which he is able, even to subdue all things to himself. Will be changed. In the twinkling of an eye, will be changed in our new bodies, and we will be able to see him. See him on the throne and worship him. We'll be transformed to his likeness, and we will see him face to face. Revelation 22, verse 3 and 5. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his face shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Is the name of Jesus on your forehead? If it's not, don't waste any time. This psalm is a story of David's plight, and it fits so well in our life today. Make sure of your salvation. Stay on God's path, under his wing, under his protection. In his vision, in the apple of his eye as he looks on us. Don't run off from it. Can we run off from it? Where we have purpose to remain in his righteousness. When the disciples were called, they stayed with him. They followed him, listened to him, and they learned from him right to the very end. Let's make sure we're there. Let's make sure we do the same. We're so blessed. 15 verses of a psalm that David lived, that God wrote, that we can read. Can take that on board. We can see God's love for us, his loving kindness. We can see how he looks after us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we are so grateful that you called us. Lord, if we're not with you, Lord, then I pray you'll find us. Lord, make sure your name's written upon us. Lord, make sure that we're under your wing. Lord, keep evil away from us and keep us from straying. Let Satan have no power over us. Let our feet be placed by you each and every step. And Lord, that we'll be patient. Patient with our yearnings, our wants from this world, Lord. Let us be ready to do your will. And Father, I pray, Lord, that many will come. Many will come to know you. Lord, that you will bring people before us that we can talk to, that we can share, that are searching, Lord. Father, like a sower sprinkles seed on a field, I pray, Lord, that we will do that as we, everywhere we go, Lord, that some will hear and turn to you. You did it for us, Lord. I pray we'll do it for more. Before you come again, before that trumpet call, Lord. Father, I pray for your courage and your safety, Lord, upon your church, that we continue to be able to freely glory to your name, and Lord, that you would just be with us while we're awake and while we sleep. Lord, thank you for all your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.